The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
There are no good opening words. Written long ago, or even recently, to capture this moment, we are in uncharted territory, taking up a task our past selves and our ancestors can only imagine. But here we are. We are the people this moment needs. And so let us take up our work in covenant, in faith, in pursuit of healing and holding. Let our worship today be fruitful and helpful, despite our fears and uncertainties, despite our anxieties and frustrations. Let us chart this new course that says, we were, we are, and we can begin. We are the people this moment needs. Good morning and welcome to this moment, familiar but different from any other moment, a time and place for you to be yourself in community, a community which will hold you in care and hold you in love for who you are, but also hold you in accountability and love for who you can become. I'm Reverend Andrew Weber, and I'm so happy to welcome you to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. Over the summer, as you know, I preach less frequently, and let me tell you, it's really good to be here together this morning. It's good to be here. For those of you on Zoom and those of you in the room here, we are here to witness to a higher purpose, the higher purpose of what we can become as individuals, what we can become as a community of faith. So let our journey be one of care and gentleness, exploring with humility, exploring with openness, approaching each other with grace. Come, let us be the people this moment needs. Come, let us worship together. We begin our holy time together by lighting our flaming chalice. I've asked Anne Rostowski to come light our chalice. This is the symbol of Unitarian Universalism. And here are these words from the Unitarian Universalist Association's newly elected president, Sophia Betancourt. Our most basic teaching is that every one of us is worthy, that none of us can be made less than the greater love that calls us into being. And as we always do in our aspiration for peace, let us light our peace lamp. May peace be with us and with all the peoples of the world. Today we're talking about General Assembly, and as you will see some videos from it, Anne and I are wearing our name tags from the big meeting to give you an experience and to give you an overview. But now let us enter this space, rejoice in this space, come in this space. If you know the hymn, you know where I'm going with this. We're gonna sing. If you want to stand in spirit, please do so. If you want to stand in body, please just move to the side so people can see the screen. Enter, rejoice, and come in.
Rejoice and come in. Open your heart.
that song a lot, and I've said it that I really like that last verse, even though I really hate it. It's like, don't be afraid of some change, but I don't like change. But all life is change. And change came up a lot at this meeting we were at 2 weeks ago, was the annual gathering of Unitarian Universalists called General Assembly, or GA for short. And you hear people talking about GA or General Assembly. This is what they mean in our religious circle. We came together from across the nation and a few from around the world, both in person and in Pittsburgh, and virtually through online participation. Today, I hope to provide both a feel of what attending GA was like, and that's why we have some videos from it. I mean, the name tags give you a little bit of a feel, not a huge amount, but like, this is what it was like. And also some takeaways for our congregation of what we might want to take away from our national organization's meeting. And as such, you will see songs from our time together. You'll hear reflections about what happened. And let's start with an introductory video. This is, I think, a good overview of what it is. It gives you some shots of what happens. It's also, take it with some grain of salt, it's a promotional video to have you come. So this was put out before the thing saying, sign up and come.
What is General Assembly? General Assembly, also known as GA, is the annual gathering of Unitarian Universalists. GA is where we conduct the business of the association, connect with friends and colleagues, and explore the theological underpinnings of our faith. It's also a chance to experience moving worship services. And connect with music and celebration. GA offers so many opportunities, from unforgettable programs to multi-platform learning opportunities, not to mention content you can return to all year long. Whether it be online, on-site, or a mixture of both, GA brings us together, demonstrating all the ways we are called into faithfully becoming.
The link saying register here, but for us today is just saying this is what we're talking about, General Assembly. And I find that if people go, if the minister or lay leaders go to General Assembly and we don't bring anything back, then we're doing ourselves a disservice, because then what's the point? So this service is bringing that back to you. So General Assembly, or GA, is a lot of different things. It's where thousands of Unitarian Universalists, thousands. I mean, I think there were 4,000 this time. And that's amazing for people who sometimes feel, oh, I'm so lucky I found this space and these few people who I can be myself around, to be in a space of thousands. That's moving. That's power. Just that right there is moving and powerful. It's where we come together to worship, have social time, learn at workshops, network, do business. And I have some resources, which I'm going to put up here, or Mike's going to put up here. And you can make a note of them. You can write them down. You can text yourself. You can visit the sites right now if you really want to. These are some resources of, like, if you want to know more about GA, and I'll try to get these out somehow, maybe in my next newsletter article, I'll be like, hey, this is what I was talking about. This will give you, like, what happened? What is GA? What do I need to know, or what should I know about it? GA has happened annually since 1962. So since the consolidation in 61 has happened every year, during COVID it was online due to the same reasons that we have our hybrid right here. Now it's hybrid in its form. You can be in person or you can be virtual, and Preston attended virtually from the comfort of his own home rather than the comfort of the convention center in Pittsburgh. I gave you an overview, but that doesn't really speak to the personal experience. So I'm gonna share some of mine, then Anne will come up, who was also in Pittsburgh, and share some of hers. I enjoy General Assembly, but I also get really frustrated at times. It's a wonderful place to reconnect with colleagues. There's a time right before General Assembly when the ministers and spiritual leaders get together. And so I can see my colleagues that I haven't seen in a while. And so I get to go to meals with people with whom I've studied, gone on international trips or pilgrimages, those who have moved away, those who I've moved away from. And I met with colleagues from Maryland, Pittsburgh, Illinois, California, Northeast India, and Hungary, like all in one place. That's so cool. I mean, that's so convenient and such a blessing. Just the gathering is a blessing. My experience included some amazing worships, filled with energy, filled with lots of music. And I attended lectures and workshops which challenged me in my faith and challenged me in my social justice work and what we do here as a congregation. And that will come back. And it brings me to some of my frustrations, because hybrid stuff, as we know, is hard. It's really difficult. Being in community is hard. And 2 weeks ago, if you were here, we streamed the Sunday service in the sanctuary that we were at in person. Streaming is not the same as being present. I get that. Even our Zoom has more interaction than streaming a service. There's no way around that. And we try our best here and always to have those involved online included, but it's a different experience. And in this space, feelings were hurt. And we weren't our best selves in respecting our technology team. And in the physical space in Pittsburgh, feelings were hurt. And we weren't always our best selves. We think, but what? We're all Unitarian Universalists, right? We have this focus on being kind to ourselves and others. Yes, and we're humans. In Pittsburgh, we were not, you saw some of the videos and the pictures, most people had masks on. There was a covenant we agreed to say, we know that the epidemic is not as prevalent now, but we will be masked whenever we gather in large spaces to keep everyone safe. We were not able to keep those guidelines. Every day when we gathered, someone would come up and say, remember to put your masks on. I feel like, I mean, just that little thing, and the fact that in my Unitarian Universalist circles, usually we're saying, oh my gosh, can you believe those people are masking? These were Unitarian Universalists who were not able, for whatever reason, to wear a mask or to do a hybrid option and not have their mask on. So there was pain. People were complaining about children making noise through worship in Pittsburgh. It's tough, and it's okay to make mistakes. We'll do it. I will make mistakes. I will guarantee you, we will make mistakes. We will hurt each other. It will happen. So we come back together. We come back together to apologize, to try again next time. My experience at GA includes the difficulties of gathering so many people who have different, and if you can believe it, sometimes strong opinions. Thousands of Unitarian Universalists. Can you imagine that they don't all agree on everything? And then there was the business, which brings me to the business, which is not for me as uplifting as the worship. But I'll talk a little bit more about that later. The new president of our association was elected. That's really neat. Sophia Betancourt, who wrote those words. And I'm excited. I got to meet her a little bit. We had some talkbacks. But the presidency was uncontested for the election, which for me just brings up feelings around democracy and around what's happened. So I don't know. I'm just naming that. Like, I had difficulties with that. It's like, I like her. I think she'll do great work. But how democratic and fair was it? And I don't know all the answers. I have questions, lots of questions. We voted as an institution to keep looking at bylaw changes, but in a fashion that didn't always strike me as democratic or fair. This is hard stuff. Representative democracy, right? I mean, who gets a vote? Who gets a say? Do we make sure every single Unitarian Universalist is involved and every single person is heard? How do you do that? I mean, who even considers themselves a Unitarian Universalist? Do you have to be a member of a congregation? Can you not? Can you be a member of a sort of church of the larger fellowship, which doesn't have a physical building? Do ministers get a vote special because they're a minister? Do they not get a vote because we're lay-led? Do congregations get a vote? Do the bigger congregations get more votes than the smaller congregations? There are inherent problems in democracy. I can just put a period there, in democracy. What about those subsets, those populations who often do not get heard? Do they get more of a voice, less of a voice? Or usually underrepresented, people of color, youth, young adults, who usually aren't heard as much? There's going to be pain. How do we make it fair? And is fairness the same as equality or equity? I don't know. Some of the business I think we could have done better because we're a faith, right? It's a faith community based on faith. Now, overall, I say all of that, and overall, I think GA is a great experience. I really enjoy going. I really enjoy it, connecting with people, having so many Unitarian Universalists, being challenged, getting the support from other people and saying, oh, you're a minister in a similar congregational size and this is what you're dealing with? I am too. Oh, you're someone who works with membership in your congregation and I am too? This is what hasn't worked. This is what has worked. It's amazing what you can learn going to General Assembly. I went as a youth and had an absolute blast with other youth. I mean, if you have youth who you're connected to in your house, it's amazing. It's like a week-long sleepover with people who like want you to be your best self. It's really cool. I've gone as a faith leader and had a blast with other faith leaders. So if you take nothing else from my intro, take that GA is varied and it's large. That's my intro. And now I want Anne to share some of her experiences too, which will be very different from mine, even though we're at the same place.
Good morning. I wouldn't say my experiences were all that different. A lot of the things are similar, but Andrew's correct in that being with so many other UUs is really an exhilarating feeling. You know, oftentimes we're this small splinter group. When your kid goes to school, they tell them they're Unitarian. They're like, what's that? But here are thousands of people that have similar ideas possibly to you. And not only were they in the convention center, they were in the hotel. I met so many neat people. I was in the line at Starbucks one day and I met a UU minister from Georgia. Excuse me. And I don't know if you read Jake's interview in the newsletter. He mentioned that he likes coming here because some of us are characters. There are a lot of characters in Pittsburgh a couple weekends ago. And, you know, I would see them in the hotels, waiting for the elevator, in the restaurants, within the few blocks near GA. I got a roommate because I thought it would help defer the expenses. And they had a roommate board if you wanted to share a room. So my roommate wrote to me and said, I don't know if you found anyone yet. I'm black and I'm gay. I hope that's okay. So I wrote back and I said, sure, I'm white and I'm straight. I hope that's okay. We got along really well, and I might actually have her come to speak here one time. She lives in Brunswick, New Jersey. New Brunswick, New Jersey. So it was great being around all these UUs, worshiping, singing with them, and just seeing them in the public like that. I made some new friends. I met a couple from Nashville, Tennessee, of all places, and they had met at a previous GA, and then they got married at GA. So I thought that was kind of neat. they were both volunteers. One was on the green team and one was on the registration committee. So there are a lot of people volunteering there too. It's a lot of work to be done. And maybe that's one reason we're not going to be in person next year. Another thing I got to do was to attend some meetings of our Central East region. So I got to meet our new leadership since Pat Infante is no longer our leader. I got to meet the new people, and I met in a president's roundtable presidents from other churches in our region as well. So both of those were worthwhile events. At General Assembly, they have a huge exhibit hall where different vendors have booths. And it's really neat. I've learned so many new things. Like, I bought these Talus earrings there. But also, they have things like an exhibit of Unitarian Universalist women and religion. So I got their button with their website on, and I bought a curriculum called Goddess Gatherings, which I will try to offer sometime in the future if anyone's interested in that. I got information for Sherry. There is a UU Association of Membership Professionals, and they have weekly meetings, so I'm going to share that with her. There is a Covenant Unitarian Universalist Pagans, and they had a solstice celebration that I attended, and I had brought my drum, so I was able to play my drum there. That was fun. And there's also Unitarian Universalist Ministry for Earth, and they have regular gatherings too. And now everybody does these things online, so if you have interest in attending, you can. I also attended a talk by the author Brian Broom, who wrote this book, Punch Me Up to the Gods, and he was a great speaker. I got him to sign my book, but I haven't read it yet, I must admit. But as a speaker, he was a gentleman who grew up gay and Black, and he talked about his experiences, but he was also very humorous. So he retained his sense of humor through growing up and all the difficulties he had. So I'll be happy to share it once I finish it. And as Andrew mentioned, we had many discussions and we voted. And, you know, that was interesting to see different points of view. And there were apologies. He mentioned about mistakes being made. And it was interesting to me that people would stand up and apologize for something that had happened the previous day. I've never been to, say, a business meeting or anything like that where people will apologize for something they did wrong. So that was kind of refreshing. And he mentioned too about the young people there. So one of the issues was they wanted the UU investments to be totally divested from fossil fuels. And not that that's not a worthy goal, but as a prior financial advisor, I know it's not necessarily easy to attain that, you know, to divest from every company and that type of thing. Well, the young people got angry when that was voted down, and they all stood up with signs and walked out of the exhibit hall. But to me, that was kind of exciting to see that there were young people who cared, you know, and that they were willing to take a stance. So to me, that was neat just to see. So I think that's about it as far as what I'd like to say now. I know the vote didn't go the way that we had hoped it would. And I would like to think that in this coming year, maybe we'll have some study groups or discussion groups where we can explore the topic further and bring out all the points of view and the information, because next year will be the final vote. And so this is just a vote to discuss things more. So I'll just leave it there.
We're going to sing again, and this is from the Service of the Living Tradition, which is one of the big services at GA, recognizing transitions in leadership, in religious leadership. So, there's more love somewhere.
There is more love somewhere. There is more love somewhere. And I'm gonna keep on till I find it. There is more love somewhere. Let the sound fill the room. Greet the people coming in with the beauty of your voice.
You can imagine how Glenn Thomas is really, really engaging in person. And I mean, he's engaging on a video, right? I mean, like, I'm like, oh, sing, okay, I'm singing with you now. He's an amazing musician. In a room of 4,000, when people are leaving or coming in, he gets us energized and ready. This was every day was wonderful. Today,
I'm not a musician like this. I can't do this. But what I can do is speak words and have activities. I have pictures for you today. And this is, I'm going to start with maybe young people. Let's see if anyone knows what this is. Younger. I see some not as young hands going up. Anyone knows what these are? I know what these are, but only because of stories from my father. It dates me too. These are punch cards. It's how you would first, maybe not first, but how you'd very early on program computers. And he told me a story about when he would he went to Penn State and he did computer programming. And he said he would love to play a trick on his friends where he'd have his box of cards, and he would like drop them. It's like, oh no! But he actually had his other cards like set up, because if you get them out of order, they're gibberish. They mean nothing. So this is how you would store documents. What's the next one? This one I remember. I've never used, but I remember at his early work, I would go in a big room and there'd be these things spinning back and forth. Also, document storage, right? Anyone use these, reel to reel? Yeah. All right, the next one we may know more of, floppy disks. When I was young, I used to think this was a hard disk and these were floppy disks. Because this one was hard, right? And these were floppy. Like, this is my first introduction. I don't think I've used the big ones. But this one was actually floppy. This one was hard. That's a hard disk, right? No. And then when I went to college, these weren't big enough. So the next slide, we'd use these, right? And you had to get your own special drive, because that wouldn't fit in any of the computers. So you had to buy this Zip, iOmega Zip disk, and a Zip drive if you wanted any file over, what, 1.4 meg? I forget what it was. Some small amount. And where did we go from here? Well, we had CDs, which you can actually write on. Right? Wow. You can, and then you can rewrite on some of them. And then these, which we still use occasionally now, USB thumb drives. So they go, you want to print something? Hold on, I got my thumb drive. But now, currently, I mean, I have my document on here. I didn't connect it to anything. I did this. It's just out somewhere, out in the ether, right? It's out in the ether somewhere, I don't know. It's on someone else's computer and it connects and it gets to here from my computer to there to this. Amazing, right? It's amazing. I mean, look at all these different ways of storing and sharing information. I could go on and talk about phones, the size of computers, right? I mean, I think I've mentioned this before, that most of us have in our pocket a computer more powerful than the one that put people on the moon. Right? I mean, like, things change. The internet, that didn't exist not that long ago. Methods of doing things change. And you know, you all know that I like to get meta sometimes. I like to, like, here's my example. Now, here's the example, looking at the example. This exercise, looking at old technology, was provided to me by a minister who I mentored when she was a youth in high school. Thank you, Jamie. Like, she's ministering to me, I ministered to her. It's like, that's amazing. And that's like, things change. Things change. And the point is that the method of doing things changes. But hopefully some of that content can stay the same. So on those punch cards, on those floppy disks, on the Zip drive, the USB in the cloud, some of the content can remain the same even when we change. And there are some big changes happening in the Unitarian Universalist Association. And that's what Ann alluded to, what we've talked about a little bit here. And as long as we are focused on the mission and not the model and not the method, right? We care about the content more than how we're actually holding that content. We'll get through that change. I mean, you focus on the content above all these methods of saving the data, not the way the content is saved. If a company, taking this example to a non-religious setting, if a company is focused on mission, let's say like constantly changing how information is saved and shared, Google and Apple, those companies are doing fairly well. I mean, you may have heard of them. They're doing well. Now, what if you have a company that's more focused on a method, like iOmega with those Zip disks? Do they still exist? I don't know. iOmega was really big into those like high capacity floppy disks. All right? And change in the UUA means that we can alter how we do things, but still focus hopefully on what we do. We bring a life-saving and a love-sustaining faith to the world. All right, well, I'm already speaking about it, so we can get more into it. What does GA mean to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship? I mean, it means a lot of things. There's one specific that I know people have already asked me about, and we've talked about, so I'm going to talk more about it. At our congregational meeting, if you remember that back in June. Sometimes same letter months. That's a different topic for a different day. But in June, had our congregational meeting. And those there, we voted to charge our delegates, those people who vote for our congregation at General Assembly, because that's how our business is done, to vote no for this particular business matter, this particular proposed changes in the UUA bylaws. We said, delegates, we of our congregation have thought about this, and we want you to vote no for us on our behalf. This is the proposal which will change our seven principles, which are up on our wall outside, to we're replacing with new language. And my hope is that the change is for the method and not the mission. Right. My hope is that we're taking out the punch cards and putting in a floppy drive, or maybe even going further to a CD or USB, but that our internal focus is the same. That's my hope. Right? So we moved to cloud sharing, but we're still a faith focused on love. We're still a faith focused on every person's worthiness. Now, those bylaw passes changed. The bylaw changes passed. So it was voted up. But before we get up in arms, before we're like, hold on, we voted against, what it means is that there's another year of discussion, as Anne mentioned. And this is the classic Unitarian Universalist, right? We're going to talk more about it. Nothing changed yet. Right now we're just saying we want to keep talking about it. The vote was to continue the process. And here's the next step. There's a bunch of words here. I'm going to read it too. The final version of Article 2, which is the bylaw change, as amended by 2023 General Assembly, it's the meeting we were at, must receive a simple majority vote to move forward. It did. The Article 2 Study Commission, that's a group of people who are doing the study, will have 6 months following the 2023 General Assembly, which takes us into what? August, September, October, November, December, January, February, to incorporate and clean up any amendments passed by the delegates. There were some amendments, there were some wording changes that happened, and send it back to the Board of Trustees, governing body of the UUA, to be placed on the General Assembly 2024 agenda for a final vote. So next year, the vote will be to change or not the Unitarian Universalist Association bylaws. As Anne mentioned, that's going to be an all virtual meeting. I have mixed feelings about that too. There's something about being with people. There's also an accessibility about having it virtual. So like lots of people can be involved now, but it's really hard because how can I talk with you over email or chat? And like there's something that we're not getting as much emotion. So I have lots of feelings around this, but next year. Now our hope is that the process changes the institutional method, but not its mission, right? That's my hope, is that we're changing how we do something, not what we do. We won't suddenly become a different faith. Our hope is that this model helps us sustain and grow a faith which is so needed in this world. Our faith is so needed. If you have come here, which all of you have come here, I know that, because I see you. But if you have come here and found a home for you, a home for your family, you know that Unitarian Universalism is needed in the world. You know that. I know that. And we know that change is hard, and we know that change hurts. I'll tell you a little bit about a similar thing. When I was ordained, I got a tattoo on my wrist, which you've probably seen, because I usually roll up my sleeves a little bit. All right, there it is. See? There's the tattoo. That's similar, very similar.
And I got this mainly for, it's on the front of our hymnals. That might be hard to see from there, but it's on the front of our hymnals too, the spine. Now, this was a reminder mainly for me of the faith that I grew up in, what I was called to do in my ministry. A symbol which speaks to me in many ways. And then, just not so long after I was ordained, this was around for many years, all my upbringing, not so long after I ordained, it changed to this. I was not happy about that. I mean, to say the least, I mean, not that I was going to change my tattoo, but like, this did not speak to me as much. And then a few more years later, and a huge investment of money from the Unitarian Universalist Association. I have feelings around this. This happened, and we're branded currently with this. Did I change my tattoo? Well, you can see I didn't. Did I get another? No. Did I leave the faith? No. I kept what was meaningful to me, and I stayed with my involvement, and I stayed with my calling. Because the changing of a symbol of our faith wasn't changing the message or the mission. We can go to the next one. I think it's the flower again. Yeah, just so you can see this. Now here we're challenged with a much deeper change, right? This isn't just the symbol. This isn't just the chalice changing into a sort of double U. This is a change that's deep, but one that's also happened before, 1985. So it's happened before. But frankly, I wasn't impressed with how this, even though I'm saying this is, we're exciting, we want the mission, the core of our faith to be the same, we're only changing how we're holding that. I was not impressed with how this has happened, how the process has gone. I would like to tell you all that democracy, equity, and our sustaining faith have shown through, but sometimes decisions weren't as public as they could have been. Sometimes the processes were constrained by our bylaws rather than informed by our morals. Yes, our faith has bylaws, but we also have our faith, right? Okay, just we got that. There are movements within the Unitarian Universalist Association and movements of people creating a new organization because they feel so hurt. They feel so hurt by this and by other institutional changes. This is a larger topic than we can get into right here, right now, but I want to name it. And I want to commit to having further worship services. As Anne said, I want to commit to having workshops. You can go to the next one where I have some stay informed. Again, you can write this down, you can take a picture. I'll try to get this in a newsletter article. Great, it can be sent out on Webvine too, this and maybe the previous one. I want to have further worship services. I want to have workshops, maybe with UUA staff, maybe with our fellow congregants. Take some time to study, to respond in love, always. But we need to learn, discern, and see what we will do individually and as a congregation, right? If we want to talk, if you want to talk more with me about this or about GA, find me at the potluck. I'll be, at a table eating. We can talk more about GA. We can talk more about Article 2. You can have your own conversations without me. That's okay. That's good. That's healthy. So what happens when our definition of ourselves shifts? What happens when the UUA changes? What happens when those shifts don't seem as fair or as kind as they could be? Because that's the question for me. That's the question of what does GA mean to us? Individuals go to this meeting. They bring back great ideas from workshops, from worships. We come back empowered. We come back excited for our faith. And we come back jaded and frustrated that even in our faith, people can be selfish and people can be hurtful, but they can also apologize. A lot of big feelings. There are a lot of great resources put out by our national and regional organization. Many, many great resources. Anne named a couple. We can learn to be a better congregation. We can learn to be better people through working together. And we need to keep looking at who we are and what we want to do. This is our faith. This is our personal and our institutional faith. It informs how we act, how we make decisions. The fact is that we need to be involved in those decisions, in those changes. And another fact is that we are not ruled by the UUA. Right? We are not ruled by them. Each congregation is individual in governance, just as you are not ruled by me. Right? Sometimes one of both of us may want that. Sometimes we may want or not want the ruling by the UUA. It's like, just tell us what to do. But no, we are congregational. We are congregational at our core. That's our theology informing our polity, right? How we make decisions, what we do. The UUA doesn't have any say in your board, in the minister. They help connect sometimes the worship, the mission statement. So we are part of the Unitarian Universalist Association, but we are also Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. There is no need to lose one identity for the other. That's where I leave it. So whether individually, congregationally, regionally, nationally, the one thing we need to never do is to hide our own identity. Right? We never should be hiding the spark of the divine in each one of us, in our faith building, in our congregation. The light of the holy within us, we need to shine as a congregation and as individuals. And I want us to sing to that truth with this little light of mine. There's something that we cannot do in a huge worship group. There's something we cannot do.
And that's sharing from our personal experiences to the entire congregation. I mean, that would be the whole week. It is good to be here today, and it is good to have this time to share and to listen to those joys and those concerns which must come out into this community of faith and hope and love. So let us now take a moment to share our matters of our hearts.
Spirit of life, come unto me, sing in my heart all the stirrings of compassion, blow in the wind, rise in the sea.
To the void here. In our religious tradition, it is not just ministers and religious professionals who have the power, the authority to bless. Each of us has that power to bless one another, to bless ourselves, to bless the world. Therefore, I invite everyone here to come into, to participate in this blessing. The words are ordinary words, but we make the blessing real through our shared intention. If you feel comfortable, you may reach out, join hands, or lay your hands on someone else if they feel comfortable too. Culture of consent. If not, you put your hands up together to the camera. As we have been blessed, so we bless one another to be a blessing. Breathe in. Breathe out. This breath we share with all that breathes. Feel the love of the universe flowing through this community into you and out into the universe again. Let the love of all the universe, your love, flow outward toward its height, its depth, its broad extent. You are more than you know. And more beloved than you know. Take up what power is yours to create safe heaven, to make of earth a heaven. Give hope to those you encounter that they may know safety from inner and outer harm. Be happy and at peace, healthy and strong, caring and joyful. Be the blessing you already are. That is enough. Blessed be. Amen. Our closing hymn is Woyaya from Service of the Living Tradition. Again, Glenn Thomas will lead us virtually in Woyaya.
Wherever we are in our lives, we are going. Heaven knows where we are going, but we know within. And we will get there. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. It will be hard, we know, and the road will be muddy and rough, but we'll get there. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. Woyaya, woyaya, woyaya. Will you rise? Let's sing together.
We are going. Heaven knows where we are going.
I extinguish our chalices with these words and close our worship this morning with these words again from our new president, Sophia Betancourt. Immerse yourself unapologetically in what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist in these days. Then go out into the world and live knowing that your faith matters. May the poetry of our hearts set us free. Amen and blessed be.
And I'm doing the announcements today.